Welcome to the Ditch That Textbook podcast, a daily show to equip, inform, and inspire educators to teach with less reliance on the textbook through technology, creativity, and innovation. I'm your host, Matt Miller. Let's get started. This is episode 49 of the Ditch That Textbook podcast, a member of the Education Podcast Network. I am still here at the Connect Conference in Ontario, Canada, in Niagara Falls. I am still sitting right here with Brian Aspinall. Yesterday, we talked about coding, and today, we're going to kind of shift the conversation to something else. And we are going to chat just a little bit about assessment, which is something that I know has been around forever in education. But the interesting thing about it is that sometimes our assessment doesn't always assess what we want to assess. Like, it doesn't always assess where kids are in their progress and where they are in their learning. Is that a fair assessment, Brian, do you think?
Absolutely, yeah. And for me, I tend to I like the assessment part of things. I consider assessment the great feedback stuff, and it's the evaluation side of things that I think are that we need to separate. I don't necessarily think the assessment is needs fixing, if you will, but the evaluation piece I think is what's inaccurate in terms of quantifying. How do you quantify a child's curiosity or creativity and articulate that based on a numerical value? And I guess, I mean, following up on our conversation yesterday about coding, when you provide kids opportunities to use tools like coding, because it's a tool, to create content to demonstrate their learning and their thinking, well, it's naturally scaffolded and differentiated in such a way that all kids can feel a level of success, almost making grades redundant, so to speak. I mean, we all believe in education that all kids can achieve. And so if we're scaffolding with tools and technology and scaffolding our time, then really there isn't a place for that grades conversation, because grades don't tell us anything. And with good feedback and kids keep kids moving all the time, that's obviously what's most important.
Yeah, absolutely. Where are some of the places where you see this sort of incongruency, I guess, or what are some examples of that you've seen?
Interestingly enough, my reference point, I'm speaking as a phys ed / math teacher, and I always think about the two subject areas and how they're evaluated such differently, at least where I'm from here in Ontario. In my phys ed class, I would never assign a grade based on the number of foul shots a kid could make out of 10, because my entire class would fail.
Right.
And they get immediate feedback from the environment, right? They get to change variables and try something new, which again, I'm making a play on words with the coding space, changing variables, making observations, and trying again. Why in my math class am I giving worksheets of the same 10 sort of questions and then grading kids based on how many they got right?
Yeah.
It's almost the same philosophy. So I started really thinking about that. There's no policy out there that tells me I'm allowed to give kids marks for effort in phys ed, but I always have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of educators do it in the arts and science and some subject areas.
Yeah.
But how come I've never given marks for effort in my math class? And why is that? You know, if a kid comes to my gym class prepared, they were rewarded for that. But I didn't give out marks if a kid brought a protractor set to my math class. So it's really got me thinking about the grades being that motivator, and how do we make kids intrinsically motivated to want to learn with tools like coding and not focusing solely on what did I get? What did I learn versus what did I get?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's something that I've kind of wrestled with as an educator too, is like, what do our grades really stand for? And what do we, I think you mentioned this earlier, what are we rewarding with our grades? Because really, you know, it doesn't come down to how many questions you got right and how many questions you got wrong, because that, you know, you can game that system and that doesn't really measure a whole lot. But the way that you set up your rubric and the way that you set up your entire grading and assessment system can reward certain behaviors and others. So if you think of it as like not a percentage of correct and incorrect, but how do you know, what do you value and how can you reward that for students? I think that's kind of a different way to look at it than we have traditionally, right?
Yeah, if you look at the work of Seymour Papert, I mean, I'm going back decades now, and I'll try and quote him as best I can. He wrote in Mindstorms, circa 1980, school is based on a premise where when kids get it, they move on, and when they don't, they're held back. But in the coding space, again, written in 1980, writing a program almost never works the first time through. And one of the biggest themes in education today is the notion of taking risks and learning from failure. Well, I don't think we can have failure in a system in which failure is punished. We need to redefine what it means to fail at school. And I think the best example of that is thinking about a newborn that's learning to walk for the first time, and mom and dad stand 10 steps apart, and the baby takes the first two steps and falls. We don't say you got 2 out of 10. We celebrate. We say today it's 2, tomorrow it's 4, and you're going to master walking. And after you've done that, I'm going to teach you to run, ride a bike, and roller skate. And so you look at learning as a thing of mastery and not a grade focus.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, this is great. This is, if you're listening to this and you're into this whole, like, you know, deep why is it that we grade and what are the thoughts behind it? This is awesome stuff. Okay, tell them real quick one more time where they can find you again in case they forgot from yesterday.
Absolutely. You can find me on Twitter, Mr. Aspinall. You can find me on Instagram, Mr. Aspinall. My website, MrAspinall.com. And I do like to blog at BrianAspinall.com.
Very good. All right, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Ditch That Textbook podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you love it, be sure to leave a review and rating on iTunes to help others find the show. Thanks for listening, and happy ditching.